It is a great pleasure to welcome to Best Ideas 2021 returning MOI Global instructor Steve Gorelick, portfolio manager at Firebird Management. In addition to being head of research at Firebird, Steve is the lead fund manager of Firebird US Value Fund, as well as portfolio manager of Firebird's Eastern Europe and Russia funds. He joined the firm in 2005 from Columbia's Graduate School of Business while completing education from a highly selective value investing program. Before business school, Steve was an operational strategy consultant at Deloitte, working with companies in various industries, including banking, healthcare, and retail. He holds a BS degree from Carnegie Mellon and a CFA charter. Steve, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us in the past. Your ideas are always very differentiated and compelling, I might add, and I really look forward to your presentation today. Please go ahead.
John, thank you for the kind introduction and the opportunity to once again present in front of such a great audience. Over the years, through this community, I've met a number of exceptional individuals, and I'm looking forward to many more connections in the future. As John mentioned, I'm portfolio manager and head of research at Firebird Management, a fund that is best known for investing in Eastern European public companies. While we have been investing in Eastern Europe for over 25 years, 8 years ago, we decided to take our cash flow focused approach and apply it to opportunities in the United States. Today, I will talk about one of the companies in our Firebird US Value Fund portfolio. But before I do that, I want to go over some of the companies that I presented in this conference in the past. 3 years ago, I presented two companies, one from Eastern Europe and one from US. Eastern European company was Olympic Entertainment Group, a casino operator domiciled in Estonia. Shortly after the presentation, it was bought out by private equity group at approximately a 10% premium. We thought that the buyout price was too low and are still disputing it together with other minority shareholders in Estonian courts. AMC Entertainment is a movie theater operator with presence in US and Europe. 2019 was a record year for the company, with free cash flows benefiting from the investments the company made into improving the seating and quality of food in its theaters. Everything changed in 2020 with onset of COVID-19 and closures of most indoor public venues, including movie theaters. Most of the operating costs for movie theaters are fixed, and with attendance down 80 to 90%, they're operating at a significant loss. While I have little doubt that movie theaters will still exist after the pandemic is over, unfortunately for AMC and other highly levered theater operators, they may not exist under the same ownership. High level of debt leaves little cushion for disruptions, as we saw in 2020, and would require kindness from lenders and other creditors to keep equity holders whole. In 2020, AMC already had to raise very expensive debt, which is now trading at 25 cents on a dollar, and equity at $2 per share, yet it's still struggling with liquidity. We exited the position in early 2020 as it became clear that COVID-19 will be a major disruption to movie theaters for quite some time. While we exited AMC, I do believe that in the long term, movie theaters as a form of entertainment will survive and even thrive. Studios like Warner Brothers, which is owned by HBO, are experimenting with putting all movies directly on streaming platforms, but the economics of such moves are highly uncertain, especially for independent studios. Moreover, the economics from the point of view of the actors depend on theatrical revenues, and they have been highly critical of changing arrangements. Movie theaters as a concept have successfully navigated introduction of home televisions in the 40s and 50s, and will likely once again adapt to the new reality. In the most fundamental form, a trip to the movies is still one of the cheapest forms of high quality entertainment for the whole family, something that we will crave as soon as this pandemic is behind us. 2 years ago, I presented one of our positions in our Eastern European fund, a Lithuanian bank, Šiaulių Bankas. We find that many Eastern European banks are one of the cheapest high quality compounders available in the world equity markets. That was true 2 years ago and still true today. Since we presented Šiaulių Bankas 2 years ago, it grew its balance sheet by 25% and generated over 85 million euro of net income, which is almost 30% of current market cap. Book value, including the dividends, grew by 32%, and total return to shareholders is over 40% despite significant volatility last year. Xiaoli Bankas, despite the strong returns, remains cheap on absolute and relative basis. It is trading at 0.9 price to book, 7.5 PE, and we think it is a bargain for a company consistently growing at 5 to 10% per annum. Last year, I presented Cars.com, and I would be presenting it again today if I did not talk about it last year. The shares are roughly at the same level as they were last year, but many of the things we were looking for happened in 2020, and I believe the situation is now less uncertain, less risky than it was a year ago. The company is now finished with payments to break affiliate contracts and fully controls its sales distribution. Traffic to the site continues to grow by double digits. Operating cash flows in the first 9 months of last year grew by 30% compared to the year before. And Dealer Inspire, Cars.com dealer website product, continues to gain share of the market and add new products such as Fuel, online video advertising platform. Dealer Inspire also provides Cars.com with data that shows that leads coming in from Cars.com are higher quality, a fact that they're using and selling the core marketplace product. Cars.com is trading at 14% free cash flow yield, a level we find very attractive. Today, I will speak about Nutrien, which generates most of its earnings from production of fertilizers. As investors in emerging markets, we have plenty of experience investing in cyclical commodities, such as fertilizers. Through the years, we found that a few attributes are necessary for successful investment into cyclical companies. On macro level, we look for two things. Is the demand for commodity growing or shrinking? For most commodities, cheapest source of supply have already been put into production. Increasing demand gets satisfied from more expensive sources of supply, which should lead to higher prices and better profitability for existing low-cost producers. The second macro consideration is, are the current prices for commodity stimulating significant capacity expansion? When prices are significantly above marginal cost of production and high enough to justify long-term investment projects, it leads to multiple players making investment decisions. These decisions create long-term oversupply, which leads to lower prices. We find that best investments in commodities are made when prices are low and not when commodity producers are trading at low multiples of elevated earnings. On micro level, we're looking for the following. We want the companies to be one of the cheapest producers of a particular commodity. Such companies should be profitable in any price environment and could withstand prolonged periods of low prices without any threat to its operations. While companies that are producing commodities right around marginal cost of production can experience much higher earnings growth as a result of rising prices, they're more risky and can go bankrupt if commodity prices remain low for a long time. We look for companies trading below reproduction cost of its assets. If the companies in the public market trading below reproduction cost, it means that anyone making a decision to build new capacity has to consider buying existing capacities available at cheaper prices in the markets. This should be supportive of publicly listed companies. And that is one of the reasons we look for that. Last and definitely not least, we look for managements with history of smart capital allocation. Due to cyclical nature of the industry, companies in commodity space enjoy periods of outsized profitabilities and periods of low earnings. What the company does with the excess cash generated during the times of plenty differentiates long-term winners from losers. There are quite a few firms that care more about growing production profile than about returns on capital deployed. As shareholders, we care more about cash flow per share than tons per year. And we invest with management that share that sentiment. For long-term investors, the holy grail is to find an investment early enough and let the value grow as earnings compound over time. Unfortunately, due to cyclical nature, commodity investments rarely fall into buy and forget categories. Investments must be actively managed, and one has to be honest about macro factors impacting the demand for products. I can't think of any examples when commodity producing companies did well when prices of such commodities were going down due to excess supply coming to market. Nutrien, which is the company that I want to present today, is a North American fertilizer producer, and I believe it ticks all of the boxes in the checklist I just presented. The company was created in 2016 from the merger of two Canadian firms, Agrium and Potash Corp. The combined company is one of the largest producers of potassium and nitrogen-based fertilizers in the world. It also owns a large agricultural retail distribution network, a differentiating factor, especially from the point of view of capital allocation. One of the two key commodities that Nutrien produces is potassium or potash, and I will be using these two terms interchangeably in this presentation. Despite Borat's statement, Kazakhstan is not number one exporter of potassium. This distinction is shared by three producers, Belarus, Russia, and Nutrien, which together produce over two-thirds of global potassium. In fact, this supply is coming from three unique deposits, all at the low end of the global cost curve, each operated by one significant producer. These producers historically coordinate their production and negotiate directly with the largest buyers of fertilizers in China and India. Nutrien's potassium capacity represents over 20% of global production capacity of this commodity. Potassium is a key nutrient for agricultural production. Potassium depletion means lower agricultural yields, and potassium has to be reapplied in order to return production back to normal. Potassium need is crop agnostic and is necessary to grow all kinds of products. Current potassium prices are near the decade lows because demand is still absorbing the extra capacity that was brought online as a result of investments initiated around 2010, when potash prices were almost four times higher than they are right now. While marginal producers in places like Germany and China are just breaking even at current prices, Nutrien, thanks to its unique geology, is generating almost 60% EBITDA margins, even at current low prices. New potassium capacity is relatively expensive to bring online and takes up to 5 years to develop. In recent years, we saw producers shut down capacity due to depletion, and there's very little new capacity coming online in the next few years since prices were not supportive of the investment decisions. In the meanwhile, the demand should continue to grow at 2 to 3% per annum. And if it gets to 72 to 75 million ton level, up from current 68, then the prices will likely go up as well, since marginal cost of production at this level is around $300 per ton, or 20% higher than current prices. The other major fertilizer that Nutrien produces is nitrogen. It is also a key fertilizer for agricultural production, but is different from potassium in the way that it is manufactured rather than extracted from the ground. The key input into nitrogen production is natural gas or gas coming from coal. North American producers such as Nutrien benefit from low-cost natural gas coming from onshore shale producers. Despite being the lowest cost producer of nitrogen in the world, the United States remains nitrogen importer, with most of it coming from China, world's largest producer. While some North American capacity was brought online by CF Industries a couple of years ago, new investments are not economical at current nitrogen prices. Just like with potassium, product prices need to go up and stay up by 20 to 30%. In order for more supply to be brought to market, a condition I find to be supportive for existing low-cost producers, such as Nutrien and one of our other holdings, CF Industries. The third pillar of Nutrien's operations is retail distribution chain. Agrium, one of Nutrien's predecessors' companies, have been building up a global agricultural distribution chain as a way of ensuring demand for its product and reducing volatility of its earnings. Nutrien continued investing into the global distribution chain and now has around 2,000 locations spanning three continents. These locations are one-stop shop for farm inputs, which provide maintenance, fertilizer, consulting services for farmers looking to optimize their yields. Nutrien builds the retail chain through its through acquisitions. Smaller distributors are acquired and plugged into existing network with some locations closed to consolidate demand into remaining ones. EBITDA per location has been growing consistently and now stands at over 1 million per location, compared to acquisition prices of between 5 and 8 million. In total, Agrium and Nutrien spent approximately $4 billion on retail acquisitions since 2010. At the same time, EBITDA of this division grew by almost $1 billion per annum, suggesting high returns on invested capital. Investments into retail chain is one of the two key uses of capital for Nutrien, other being shareholder returns. It generates around $4 billion of operating cash flow per year at current price levels and needs around $1 billion for maintenance capex. Rest is spent on value accretive investments or return to shareholders. Nutrien returned over 20% of current market cap in dividends and buybacks since 2018. And one of the ways we know that free cash flow and capital allocation are important to Nutrien is based on how often it becomes a topic on quarterly calls. Free cash flow is mentioned multiple times in every earnings call and is one of the key metrics for management compensation. The last item on our checklist is whether the company is trading at below reproduction cost. I estimate that the current price of Nutrien is roughly 20% below the value of its assets, once we take into account replacement value of production assets and market value of other specialty retail distributors. Looking at the framework I presented in the beginning, Nutrien seems to check all the boxes. But the key question with any investment is, why now? One underappreciated aspect of investment in commodities is how dependent they are on the dollar. There is a strong negative correlation between the strength of US dollar and commodity prices. Dollar has been strong for a large part of this decade, thanks to higher interest rates and growth rates than most trading partners. We can see the impact of this headwind in the lower commodity prices and lower weightings of commodity sectors in key indices. As we enter the new decade, dollar is seemingly weakening thanks to the interest rates that are now near zero. Fed has committed to keeping interest rates low for the next couple of years, and it seems that the dollar headwind will finally weaken and may even turn into a tailwind for commodity companies. The other reason why I think it's a good time to invest in Nutrien is that supply-demand conditions for both nitrogen and potassium are supportive of rising prices. There has been no investments into significant new capacities. They will be coming to market in the next 3 years, and demand for fertilizer should recover once COVID-related disruptions are behind us. If fertilizer prices come back to historical averages of the last decade, profitability of Nutrien could go up by approximately $3 billion per annum, or 60% of current levels. In summary, I think Nutrien is an attractive investment thanks to its status as a low-cost commodity producer and retail distribution chain. Company is attractively priced today at 10% free cash flow yield, but if commodity prices go back to the historical averages, the stock is trading at 25% free cash flow yield, a level I believe to be extremely compelling. Thank you for your time.
Steve, thank you so much for the presentation. Could you elaborate on capital allocation going forward and where you see the priorities?
Let me go back to that slide. So the company has been spending the money, as I mentioned earlier, on building up the retail distribution chain and returning capital to shareholders. If you look at their debt levels, they're saying they're around, if I remember correctly, around 3 to 4 times debt to EBITDA, which is the level that they consider to be comfortable. They will be reducing debt a little bit. Some of it is going to go to that. Retail, they made a significant acquisition of a company in Australia, Ruralco, which is still being integrated. They might have other targets, but those at this point look more like plug-in acquisitions. And a large part of the money should continue to be going towards buybacks and dividends. So this is a company that we think that right now is generating around $3 billion of excess capital. They should be spending between one and one and a half on different value accretive investments that should be generating between 15 and 20% per year. And the rest seems to be returned to shareholders.
What would be the key KPIs to watch going forward to gauge how the thesis is playing out?
So the two things that I would look for is the commodity prices for nitrogen and potassium, and those you can track on Bloomberg, or they're generally publicly available. So you can see that, you know, if the prices are going to be going up, you'll probably see the company responding to them. From a point of view of management KPIs, they are looking for, so the CEO's compensation is mostly linked to total shareholder return and share price. And the company itself, other management, does their incentives are linked to free cash flow growth and earnings per share. And both of these measures we find to be, we're interested in those as well.
When it comes to long-term risks here, what would be top of mind for you?
So the couple of things. One, as I was talking about the US dollar, is that it's very difficult for commodity prices to be going up when US dollar is strong. And especially if you are a North American producer like Nutrien is, then they are their costs are linked to US dollar more than anything else. In nitrogen, one of the big risks, I guess, in the longer term is whether the U.S. natural gas will stay cheap. And given that it's coming partially from, largely what is coming from shale, and some of it is a byproduct of shale oil production, then that's something that we kind of have to consider, whether if the that low cost advantage of U.S. natural gas will go away, that will impact their operations. So that's one of the things that I would consider. Another one is the US dollar, as I already mentioned, whether if dollar comes back to its historical strength, then it's going to be quite difficult for any commodity producers to make money or make a lot more money than they're making right now. And I'm guessing those would be the major things at the moment. And the other thing I would consider is if you see significant capacities coming to market, either in potassium or in nitrogen, not something we're seeing right now, as I talked about it in the presentation, we don't think that the returns on capital are high enough to justify significant investment to these capacities. But if people are making the decisions, which could be uneconomic, to bring additional capacities to market, that could impact the long-term prices as well.
Okay, great. Well, I think I'll leave it there. Just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with their own thoughts or questions. Thank you so much for sharing your email address here on the screen. Really appreciate you bringing this idea to the community today, and also for reviewing your previous ideas as well.
John, thank you so much for the time. It's always a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you, Steve. Take care.